Hey, I'm Zale, host of Preconceived, a podcast that challenges the preconceptions that shape how we view the world. Preconceived examines both our approach to major life choices, but also our perspectives on issues to which we may have been overly conditioned towards certain opinions. Each episode features a different topic, with experts, researchers, and luminaries in their respective fields. We think you will especially enjoy recent episodes on polyamory, regretting parenthood, dopamine nation, and myths of the beauty industry. Find Preconceived wherever you get your podcasts.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hello, baby.
Hello, my love.
Ready to talk about some sex?
Yes, please.
All right. Well, you know, I mean,
get talking.
Haven't had any in over a week, so don't really know what to talk about.
Yeah, don't know anything about sex really anymore. Yeah,
almost completely forgot what it was, what it meant, until I had some, and now I forget again. But yeah, you know, it's weird. Cause like today is Tuesday, June something. It's like the middle of June.
16th.
And, here in Halifax, we're going on, well, it depends on what happens today, but I think if today is the same as yesterday, excuse me, Jesus, we will be on our seventh consecutive day with no new cases. Or maybe it's six, but anyway, we're coming up on a week of no new cases here in Nova Scotia, which is like, that's pretty promising. That's like a really exciting thing.
Yeah.
And again, it's like, it's making me have all these thoughts about like, how do I reintroduce myself back into the dating world, or how do I reintroduce myself back into the, I mean, fuck, even in the just like social world, you know? But I'm feeling like really light. I'm feeling really hopeful. I'm not feeling as much like dread and gloom and doom as I was a little while back.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's got to do wonders for your, just like the way you're carrying yourself through your day.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great.
So that's nice. That's nice. It's funny. Like we will get messages from people who are listening to the show, but they're like 6 weeks back, or you know, they're like 2 months back.
Yeah.
And they're sending us messages being like, "Holy fuck, this is super weird to be listening to you guys in like late March and knowing what's coming ahead."
Yeah.
Like knowing how fucked 2020 just will continue to get. And it's, yeah, it's just a, I mean, I don't want to like beat a dead horse, but it's just wild to think of how fucking crazy this year has been.
It is, it's crazy that it's June, because like we're halfway through 2020, and January 2020 felt like 2 seconds ago. I've said it before on the podcast, but like Todd and I left on our road trip the middle of December, and I feel like I'm still on the trip. Like I'm still tripping. It just has not been a...
Right, because you haven't been home. Like you haven't been here. This might be the longest we've been apart.
Well, I yeah.
No. Yeah, within our... No, you don't think?
No, because I was home in March. Remember, I was there with my dad.
Yeah, for a short period of time. But
for like a week.
I think
Yeah.
I don't know. We spent a lot of time apart anyway, but like I think this has definitely been the most amount of time within a small window, like within a window.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the world just... You know, and like my grandma died in December, and then my other grandma died in February, and then my dad just died, and COVID and the new like civil rights movement, and like it just feels like it's accelerating still to me, you know, in a really, but mostly in a positive and hopeful way.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, I don't know how to transition here. Transitioning out of that, more into Turn Me On. Very excited about today's episode. We are talking with a up and coming. I mean, would you call her a pop star? I feel like pop star comes with, and maybe this is just like me. But I feel like the word pop star comes with like a certain
baggage.
Yeah. I guess like I don't know. Like her music is. Now I'm just butchering it. Hold on. Fuck's sakes, Jenny.
You can do it. You can.
No. I'm cutting this. This is stupid.
But it's actually not stupid because where I thought you might go with that is like maybe we can come up with a new word for imagine if we just took all the words that are like super loaded with all kinds of meanings that we may not mean when we use them, like pop star, and give them a completely new name. And the reason I say that is because I'm reading a book right now that is like, yeah, we can say penis and vagina, or we can say this
cock
and this. Yeah.
And pussy.
Oh fuck.
Why do you hate those words? Why do you hate the word cock?
I don't mind it. I don't like it. I don't like
it. Why? Why do you not like that word?
Cock.
No one says it like that. Who says it like that? I wouldn't like it like that either if someone said it like that.
Oh my god.
You sound like a drunk man from Staten Island who just like fucking woke up from a goddamn hibernation.
Not far off.
Cack.
Cack. I don't mind the word pussy.
I know some people hate the word pussy.
To be honest with you, it's probably old, you know, it's probably just old, you know, baggage of like,
look,
shame.
I'm telling you right now.
But I feel it doesn't do it for me. Those words don't do it for me.
Okay. Bleh. So
pussy,
yoni, you like yoni?
No, I don't like yoni. There's very few.
No offense to anyone who likes the word yoni, but well, I think the word yoni is
well, I think it's an Indian word. I think it's the word. I think like I'm in this book anyway, and this book is dated, I'm sure, but like some of the language in it is kind of dated. But she uses the word yoni.
I don't like that word.
And
is that the technical like Indian term?
I don't know if that's the... Well, let's just look it up here.
I don't like the word. You know what? You don't like cock? I don't like yoni.
That you don't have to like yoni. I am not going to call my pussy a yoni either.
I love that you put your face away from the mic when you say pussy. Yo, what's like, what do you call your, do you just like to call it vagina?
Yeah, I say vagina a lot.
Vagina?
Vagina. But cookie? I wouldn't be like, you know, I wouldn't be like giving someone instructions in the moment or like requesting that someone
fill my vagina. Beat my vagina up.
Ew, I don't. Fuck, I don't like any of, I don't like it.
What about hoo-ha? I like hoo-ha a lot.
Oh, you know what? Yoni, sometimes referred to as Pindika, is an aniconic representation of the goddess Shakti in Hinduism. It is usually shown with Linga, its masculine counterpart.
Right.
I like... Pindica.
So it's not a vagina.
Yeah, I don't think so. Don't know. This is Yoni from Wikipedia.
Stop calling it Yoni. We can just put the word Yoni to rest.
The Yoni is conceptualized as nature's gateway of all births.
Oh shit. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's okay. All right. I'm a little bit more on board with Yoni now.
Okay. Particularly in the esoteric Kala and Tantra practices, as well as Shaktism and Shaivism traditions of Hinduism. So Yoni is a Sanskrit word that has been interpreted to literally mean the womb and the female organs of generation.
The womb. Okay. Mm. Right, so the womb. So stop calling your vagina a Yoni.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, in this particular book, that I'm reading called The Art of Sexual Ecstasy, called by Margot Anand. Mm-hmm. She's going for something. She's like, let's take out the words. She's not going to use the words penis and vagina. She's using these more like spiritual
woo-woo
sounding words.
Right.
It's Tantra. She's one of the leading experts on Tantra.
What did she call the cock?
I'm looking for the word. I think it's a Sanskrit word as well. I want to say it's something like, I'm looking for it in the page, like something like Raja or something like that. I'm looking for it, but I can't find it.
You know, one thing that I really appreciate about some of the past guests we've had on the show, especially like guests who are like sexual educators or like people who are like in the world of tantric sex, you know, Jessica Graham, Eva Clay, who else? We've had a couple, but like when they're just talking and then they all of a sudden they just say cock and like we're recording and I look and I kind of see you like almost. Like, yeah, your eyes kind of like shift, like they get a little bigger. Like, whoa, I wasn't expecting you to say cock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, when they say it, it's great.
I love it when they say it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. You don't when I say cock?
No.
Cock. Cack.
Cack.
Cock.
It's just so, you know, it's so aggressive.
What about the word cunt?
Again, it depends on who's saying it, I think.
And context of how they're saying it.
Yeah, of course. Like in a sexy way, I like it. You know, I don't think
anyone's used it in a sexy way. I don't think I've ever heard that yet.
No?
No. If someone was like, spit on my cunt, I'd be like, whoa, I am, I'd be engorged. I think that would turn
you
me
would
on.
Explode?
Like, oh yeah, yeah. I love really
aggressive.
Like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Angry like sounding language.
Yes, I do. I really do. Actually, mm-hmm. I love that, and mm-hmm. especially in the bedroom. I think that's really fun. But I've never heard someone use the word cunt.
We're so different.
You and I.
Yeah.
That's why we're the best together, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, whoa. I don't mean I like that all the time. It's not all I like. You're not into sex talk? Into like...
It's hard for me to talk about when it's not in happening
in the moment.
At the moment,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
like
know,
right
I know
now,
it's I totally know
I'm divorced from it.
Yeah,
I'm like it's over there, and it sort of smells weird.
Yes, yeah, it's like when you've had too many pancakes, and then like the next day you're like, pancakes. I can't imagine the next time I'll ever eat them.
Yeah.
But then 2 days later, you're like, can't wait to have some pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
Pancakes mm-hmm. and sex, very similar.
It's funny because I don't really like pancakes. So, but I do like sex. But what I want is, to feel more bliss and ecstasy in the everyday. And that's what this book, I think, is going to lead to.
Cool.
Like, it's the
I like that.
It's really, like, I read the intro yesterday, and I was so turned on that I had to take a little break.
Oh, jeez. Holy
yeah.
smokes.
And the contents are, like, it starts, it's super accessible, and she kind of, like, entices you in with, like, this very super accessible languaging. I'm just going to read you, actually, this paragraph.
Sure.
This is the very beginning of the introduction, and the introduction is called The Way In. While making love or just afterward, have you ever wondered, isn't there more to sex than this? Most of us have. Have you ever felt incomplete during sex because your partner has already landed before you have even had a chance to take off? Have you ever felt bored with sex in a long-term relationship and found yourself wishing you could recapture the passion that used to make sex between you so exciting? Have you ever wished to be touched at the core of your being, yet felt afraid to open yourself up and be vulnerable? Have you ever glimpsed an ecstatic moment in love and later felt that you didn't know the way back? If you've answered yes to any of these questions, you sense intuitively the value of peak experiences in lovemaking. Those special moments, either preceding or during orgasm, when you feel transported beyond the limitations of your personal problems and preoccupations. Suddenly you are flying. You feel gloriously alive, filled with light and laughter, at home in a moment that seems to go on forever, in a space that fills you with awe. It is these rare, intense, often unexpected experiences that awaken fresh energies and inspire feelings of closeness and gratitude between you and your partner.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's the intro to this entire book?
Yeah, that's the beginning of the whole book. And
how'd you come across this? How'd you find this book?
It was on my sister. So I'm took a night for myself at my sister's place in Charlottetown. She's gone back to British Columbia to be with the two little kids for a minute, and her 18-year-old daughter, my niece, our niece Sophia, has just moved into her first apartment on her own.
Oh.
Todd's out doing flooring at his buddy's place. So I'm here taking a night. Today is my self-care day that I desperately need. And
I love that part of your self-care day is to sit down and record.
Yeah.
Me asking you why you don't like the word cock.
Well, talking to you is very important to me, and it makes me feel good. And it's my self-care day. This is how I'm starting. Aside from the fact that I woke up fucking hungover and I hate myself.
You were so drunk last night.
Shut up. I know. I was there. I don't need you to berate me for it.
I'm not berating.
Believe me. I'm hard on myself enough without.
Are you gonna borrow this book and read the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm gonna take the whole thing. She recommends you read it cover to cover before you start. It's a manual. It has like exercises in it.
Cool.
It was just on my sister's bookcase, and I picked it up, and then I looked up the author, Margot Anand. She's in her 70s now. She's a French author and teacher and seminar and leader and public speaker. And, so she wrote this book, The Art of Sexual Ecstasy. And then she also wrote The Art of Everyday Ecstasy, which is kind of what I'm after too. And then The Art of Sexual Magic. But if you go to her like website, which is the ecstaticliving.com, the Ecstatic Living Institute, the first thing it says, I mean, it is her website, but, it just says the world's leading authority on Tantra. So even though we may not have, known her name back when we were talking to Eva Clay and Jessica Graham, I bet they're like, yeah, like the right. the number one handbook. You know what I mean?
Sure, sure. Cool. Well, I'm excited to hear your thoughts on what you take away from that book. And maybe if you ever bring it home or something, I could read it too. Or maybe I'll just buy my own copy.
Get your own copy.
Yeah. Speaking of sexual ecstasy, Bride.
Yeah.
There's a story that I want to, a news story that came out that I found very interesting that I think you will also find entertaining. This is coming out of BBC News about a sexual fantasy gone wrong.
Uh-oh.
Men hired for sexual fantasy break into the wrong house.
Oh, no.
This is coming out of, this is a story out of New South Wales, Australia. In a sex fantasy gone wrong, two men with machetes entered the wrong house in New South Wales, Australia, before quickly realizing their error. One of them has now been acquitted of entering a home armed with a weapon in July 2019. So this was almost a year ago exactly. They had been hired to carry out a client's fantasy of being tied up in his underwear and stroked with a broom. I'm not sure how you stroke someone with a broom. I wonder if they meant pegged. Like if they mean pegged with a broom, but they just didn't put that. Or no?
Those are very different. I hope they communicated about it and they knew what they were supposed to be doing. Because if you were like, just brush me lightly with my floor mop. And then they rammed you.
Well, yeah, you're totally right. But what does that mean? Stroked with a broom? Like, how the fuck do you stroke someone with a broom?
Like this?
No, man. They're talking about his cock. They're talking about his manion, his
manhood,
his varishna. What did you call it?
I like manhood.
They're talking about his manhood, Bride.
Okay, so they
stroke him with a broom.
Yeah, just like. You know, just gently brush.
Not his fucking face.
Just, well, this is the action.
Oh,
see,
okay.
My hand is a broom and it's brushing. Yes. I don't have a manhood.
Right. The judge concluded that, quote,
my head.
The judge concluded that, quote, the facts of this case are unusual. The role play was arranged over Facebook by a man near Griffith, New South Wales, who provided his address to the hired pair. Quote, he was willing to pay $5,000 if it was, quote, really good, the judge said. However, the client moved to another address 50 kilometers away without updating the two men.
What the fuck, dude?
Yeah, you think, like, although, you know, maybe he did it. Maybe he was just wasted one night. And was like, I just want a couple of guys to come here and machetes and stroke me with a broom. That's why he said stroke with a broom, because he's fucking drunk. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, like so if I like, had ordered a sexual fantasy last night and it showed up this morning, I might have been very confused.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, we're here to stroke you with a broom. You're like, I don't even know what that means. When the resident noticed a light on in his kitchen at 6:15, he assumed it was a friend who came by daily to make morning coffee. When the men called out the name of their client, the resident turned on the light and removed the sleep apnea mask he was wearing.
Stop it.
It was then that he saw them standing above his bed with machetes, which they appeared to have brought as props for the role play. This is where it gets really good. When they realized their error, one of the pair said, "Sorry, mate," and shook the resident's hand, according to local reports. The two men then drove to the correct address. So how the fuck would they know what the correct address is? They must
have just 6:15 in the morning.
Yeah, where the client noticed one man had a great big knife in his trousers and asked them to leave the weapons in the car. So they get there, they got the machetes, and the guy that ordered this thing is like, whoa, fuck.
That's over the top.
I asked for a good old broom stroking. Fuck. They carried the machetes either as a prop or something to use in the fantasy, said the judge. The fantasy was unscripted and there was discretion as to how it could be carried out. The lawyer for Terrence Leroy, one of the accused, said it was a commercial agreement to tie up and stroke a semi-naked man in his underpants with a broom entry was not with intent to intimidate.
I'm looking up Terrence Leroy.
That's got it. I mean, like, sometimes I read these. This is BBC News. Like, is this fake? You know what I mean? This just sounds so fake.
No, I don't think so. He's been Terrence. Fucking poor Terrence Leroy.
No, he got. I thought you just fucking looked something up that said he got charged with, like.
No, okay, not guilty. Okay. Yeah, he's been found not guilty. I think I'm reading the same. Yeah, article that you just did. Well, you know what, folks? That when I lived in England, when we would see Canadian news on the in the back of the newspaper, essentially, and it was just like Canadian kid gets stuck in a tree. Like I remember, this being like, this is how our country is seen by people that are not from our country. This is how we're represented outside of our own country, and I'm sure that people in Wales are just like, oh, for fuck's sake, mate.
Well, I wasn't even planning to hit this, but Brian, what a perfect segue. I wonder what you might think now if you were a kid and looking at the news coming out of our country today. Because yes, I'm used to seeing that kind of I was used to seeing that kind of shit growing up, like these like fluff pieces or like these little things where it's like boy tripped into well was saved by three construction workers, like, you know, whatever, and you're like, oh wow, like, oh, crazy, like that's what's happening in Canada, eh?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's like Iraq's getting bombed by the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
and President Bush. Well, this article, yo, CBC, I don't know what's up with CBC these days, but they are, they must be really digging the whole polyamory thing because they keep putting out these poly articles. Somebody high up at the CBC must be living that
poly life. Maybe they're like, wow, there's a lot of like shit we don't really talk about. What can we sort of, what's the safest thing to talk about? Like polyamory is out of all the things we're going to talk about is like the safest thing to talk about.
Au contraire, my friend.
Really?
Have you not read? I mean, so CBC did an article, a piece about us and our polyamorous relationship, and the comments.
I'm not talking about the trolls.
No, they're not trolls, baby. These are just like fucking regular Canadians that are flabbergasted and can't wrap their head around the beta cuck that just sits and watches his wife get banged by his boyfriend. You know, that's the way that they fucking perceive the whole scenario, the whole situation, according to these comments. But this just came out, polyamory during a pandemic. It's complicated. This is the title of the CBC article that came out June 14th. Now, I haven't read this article. I actually have no idea what the fuck is in this article, and I'm not going to go into it. I'll read it later, I'm sure, and maybe it'll be interesting. But, you know, scrolling through, it seems that they're talking about, you know, different types of relationship strain, which I'm definitely feeling right now these days. Gauging risk, again, something that I'm dealing with right now. Doing what's right and safe, that kind of thing. So it's, it's all very interesting. But, dude, the comments on this fucking article, holy smokes.
Do you have any favorites?
I'd have to go to Facebook to find, I'm just on there on CBC's actual website. But I was reading through it, and I just, personally, I find it really funny. Like, I love seeing outrage on Facebook. And like seeing arguments on Facebook, I love reading that.
Do you love?
Because it's so fucking absurd to me that people actually spend their time doing it. But I guess it's probably absurd to someone listening to this right now that I take time to just laugh at it while I scroll through and read.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so fucking dumb. People are so dumb.
Uh-huh.
People are so dumb. What are you fucking doing, you dummies? Like, what are you doing sitting at a fucking keyboard and getting into an argument with some guy's fucking uncle who lives in like Fort McMurray? Like, who gives a fuck? Like, what is with you? But I read it. but I read it. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just as much a part of the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're, yeah, I don't know. I can't spend any more time on the internet. I'm done. I think I'm almost done.
Yeah. Like, well, that's not going to work for this podcast.
No. I mean, here's the thing. I just realized, you know, like with my book club, my Untamed book club, you know, 2 weeks have gone by and I haven't maintained that account, and there's other shit to pay attention to right now. And so, you know, it's just like, I'm waking up and to my Instagram accounts, of which I have several, and, you know, personal and business and like hobby, and then I teach yoga online and all of this stuff. And I'm like, fuck, I take up a lot of space online. And and the first thing that comes to mind, honestly, about all that is like, it literally, it's not just in space, you know, it's actually, I'm cleaning out my grandparents' house. I'm cleaning out a lifetime of hoarding and storing and keeping everything. And then I get on my fucking laptop and it's almost out of space. And I'm like, what the fuck am I storing here? What the fuck is the cloud? I don't know, but it's holding things for me. I pay for Google Drive. It's holding things for me. I've got all of these like Instagram accounts that somewhere exist. It exists physically in a very, it's relatively small space, but it's a space of storage that I'm taking up, and it's not like in quotes costing me anything, but it's costing someone something. It's costing like the health of the planet, and it's costing it, you know, somewhere somebody died so I could have a cell phone, you know, like I'm just getting so, ooh.
Yep. You're going to be a Luddite, ooh, in less than a year.
Well,
you're just careening towards that Luddite life.
If I can afford to get, I mean, it's like a very privileged thing to say that I don't want to use the internet anymore, but yeah, anywho,
it certainly is.
Anywho.
All right. Well, listen, enough of all of this. Let's get to the, fucking heart of what this episode is all about. Our friend,
music, yep, makes a people.
Our friend Upsol,
come together.
The up and coming pop artist from the U.S. who is fucking killing it. She's got a number of tracks out there that you can go listen to by looking her up. But we are going to play this episode out to one of her latest singles, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is the title of that song. And so if you listen all the way through, you'll hear this jam at the very end of the episode. And it is like, so the reason I was having a bit of struggle earlier with the whole pop thing is I don't typically consider myself to be a fan of pop music,
mm-hmm,
but I really like Upsol's music.
Cool. All right.
I also really like Upsol. This is another one of those fucking episodes where I'm just a bumbling dum-dum because I'm having just
eyelashes.
Crush. Yeah, just eyelashes at this beautiful lady. So enjoy this episode. We had a lot of fun with it. Upsol's really great. And it, again, stay tuned to the very end of the episode. We're going to play out to the track 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And actually, you know what? We'll play into this episode with a little teaser of it so you get a little idea. And then if you want to hear the rest of it, listen to the end of the episode.
Great. Fantastic. Okay. Let's do this. I love you.
Can we just... we're still going? Okay, I love you too. And enjoy this episode, folks. Flavor of forever just for the night. The world is getting warm, running out of air. Now you can send me way up to the stratosphere. So now I'm feeling like a fucking billionaire. Not playing fair. Won't you come here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. Well, this is going to be really fun. We're sitting down with our new friend, Taylor Upsol, a.k.a. Upsol, the pop darling of Phoenix. How are you? How's life in during the zombie apocalypse where you are?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really stoked to be doing this. Life is interesting. I feel like everyone doesn't really know what to do with all this free time, and we're kind of just like going crazy. But I'm definitely trying to stay positive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's bizarre times for sure. Yeah. I feel like you're doing what a lot of people that I know have kind of done. You typically live in LA, but you've gone back to your hometown to quarantine up with your folks in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Bridie, you're kind of doing the same thing. You're hunkered down with your mom there on Prince Edward Island. Mm-hmm. I am just at our house, which is nice. How's it? What's it been like kind of moving back in with your folks?
It's interesting. It's been weird because I moved out of my parents' house to LA when I was 19 and have lived there for like 2 years. And I feel like I never really thought I would like have the chance to like move back in with my parents, I guess. So it's interesting because I didn't realize how different my life was in LA when I'm living on my own versus how it is when I'm at my parents' house. But I'm kind of loving it. My mom cooks me dinner every night. Like, I get to hang with my family. Like, it's pretty dope. And I know, like, I feel like I'm always so busy, so it's hard to, like, make time to see my family. So I'm just trying to, like, take advantage of all this free time I get to just, like, chill with my parents. But, you know, it's been fun.
Yeah, I feel like some of the like, I keep telling my nieces and nephews, like, make lots of good memories with your brothers and sisters, because I feel like as someone who likes hanging out with my family, I'm really valuing that time as well. Just to like put some good feeling vibes in my vault for a rainy day.
For sure.
Yeah, I've been having this conversation with a number of people who have moved back in with their folks, and I'm hearing a lot of the same kind of sentiment of like, you know, it's kind of nice to reconnect with family. And then I'm also hearing a lot of like, yeah, it's kind of hard because like I can't use my vibrator. It's too loud. I'm trying to like discreetly have phone sex with people at night. And it just like it's just not a vibe that I'm feeling right now.
It like feels wrong too, because you're like, I'm in my parents' house. Yeah, like, yeah. I feel bad. Yeah, I totally feel that. It's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that is something that I'm glad that I don't have to be too worried about. Bridie, you've got an Airbnb like outside of your mom's place. So you're set.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's still a weird time to be like getting down and dirty, because it's just like there's so much stress going on in the world. I'm pretty positive and I'm pretty relaxed, I think, but like, I think it could be hard for us to just get to relax enough to like enjoy those kinds of acts, you know, right now. But yeah, I'm definitely not hiding it from my parents. So that's
work.
yeah. Are you, were you dating or seeing anyone or in that scene at all when this went down?
I've been in like an on and off thing for a very long time that has kept my life very interesting, especially like my sex life, because there's always like the breakup sex and the makeup sex, and then there's like the fun in between. And like right now during this quarantine, I'm in the in between, which is low key kind of nerve wracking, but also very fun because you kind of get to like play the game, you know, with each other. And like, I don't know, it's been interesting, but it also is hard because it's like, I feel like no one's really getting any during quarantine. It's not like I can go hook up with random people. I'm not about to risk getting coronavirus. So it's like, yeah, it's definitely been a weird time to like navigate being in an on and off thing, and like not getting laid is like something I'm not used to. So it's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's super weird. And it's also kind of fascinating though, to see how people have been like not being held back by the restrictions of quarantine, you know, like turning to technology to like find, to like branch out and find ways. Like we talked about this on the podcast. Well, we will have by the time this comes out, but I was just reading an article about this guy who he hosted an online like Zoom based orgy.
That's amazing.
A bunch of people. Yeah. It was like a bunch of people that were like, all right, cool. Like we're like, you know, I can't go to the sex club. I'm missing my orgy time. And so this guy was like, all right, cool. I'm going to like put together a giant like fuck sesh and we'll all get together on here. And he describes like it's actually a really beautiful article because he describes the awkwardness of trying to like initiate the orgy. Like how do you start an online orgy? Like when you're in person, it's maybe a little bit easier. You kind of, someone starts kissing someone or someone starts touching each other. And then next thing you know, everyone's fucking. But on this, it's like, do you just
like who,
who starts it?
Yeah.
And then he talks about how it's actually, this experience actually like made him, he feels like he came out of it like a better, or he feels like he will go into his next human to human connection experience as a better lover because he's become more, more present with like how important and how sexy and how valuable, like communication through this medium of like trying to connect with someone as real as possible through a screen can then evolve into the way you actually connect with someone one-on-one when you're truly there. It's a really interesting article.
I love that. I feel like, I agree because I've never really done like the phone sex thing, honestly, until quarantine. And it's interesting because I feel like you're in an even more vulnerable place because you're like, there's like a camera on you and you're like, okay, like how do I, and you do have to be like more clear about what you're doing. Like, and a lot of times I feel like when it's person to person, like it's easy to kind of like hide behind just like doing random shit or like body language. But when it's like through the phone, you have to be more clear. So I do agree. I guess it like is like a confidence booster for sure.
That's exactly what he was talking about as well, was how much of a confidence boost it was for him to like, for example, for him to be told through the screen, like, you have a really beautiful dick, or like whatever the thing was being said to him, and how he like, and how deeply that sort of like touched him and like boosted his elevated his confidence as a lover. It's you're right in that it does put you in a bit more of a more vulnerable position because like we there is so much to be said for our ability to communicate without words in person, you know,
right.
with our body language, with like subtle touch or movement or, you know, what have you. And it's kind of a little bit of a cop out, you know,
right?
from direct vocal communication,
especially because not everybody is really skilled at reading body language. Some people are really, really bad at it, actually.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And it's like, it's like almost, and maybe it's not that they're bad at it, but maybe it's like the kissing thing. It's like, maybe this person's not a bad kisser, but maybe we don't do a good kiss together. You know?
I disagree with this.
I'm just hypothesizing. I'm just thinking this out loud for the first time.
No, I know you are.
Because I want to be kind, because I don't want to say anybody's bad at kissing or bad at sex, but like maybe we're just not compatible.
Okay, what are your thoughts on
no? No, you can be bad at kissing. I think some people are just bad. Look, I get it. Like there is for sure like a compatibility thing. You know, some people are like, I love drowning in someone else's tongue, and some people are like, yeah, I like minimal tongue. That okay, sure, but there's definitely a line where you're like, no, you're just like, you're objectively bad at it, and you could use practice. You could like that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being bad at something. You just need to
learn.
To be better at it. I think
I agree with a little bit of each of you. Like, I think I like the idea of like being nice and being like, maybe you're not like bad in bed, or maybe you're not a good kisser because we're not compatible. But also, like, that would suck to be that person who just like sucks at everything.
Nobody like, ever told me that I'm a bad kisser.
Right.
You know, like if someone's kissing you like like just fucking
then just
mashing, just mashing their lips together, just and then they're just like headbutting you. Like that's just bad.
Yeah, like banging kissing. The teeth, banging the teeth against your teeth.
Well, see, now banging the teeth, like that's something to me that maybe that is a maybe that's just a anatomy thing.
Right.
My teeth are this shape. Your teeth are this shape. Our lips kind of shape this way, and we just click.
I think
and not click in the good way. Click in the bad way. Like clicking teeth off each other. You know, it's like
you need to find the right person with the right mouth.
The right
way. Or you adapt your face to the person that you're.
If you love them, if you love them, you adapt your face.
If not, you're like, all right, on to the next. This is not.
Because, Brody, you've definitely, there have been times where we were making out and you were like, you know, cool it with your tongue. Like, you said it one time. I'll never forget it. Because you were like
ingrained in your memory.
Oh, yeah, it's burned in my fucking psyche. You were like, you're just like a little, it was just a little aggressive on the tongue. And so I took that and I was like, okay, with Brody, I need to like, reel it back when I'm using my tongue in her mouth. But with Becca, it's like we're literally trying to suffocate each other with our tongues. It's like it's a weird sort of
H.P.
Lovecraft and Cthulhu.
And I feel I have that as well. I also have that. I've had that experience as well. And I have had experiences where I've been mid kiss and been like, oh, I'm suddenly no longer interested in being in this room with you, and I've said something about it, and it just didn't change anything. But honestly, I'm talking more about like body language, like even just responding to like pressure or like essentially, if someone comes up to you and they give you a hug, or you walk up to someone and you give them a hug, you can generally tell whether they're receptive with their body,
right?
Like, if they're rigid. Or they stop breathing, then they're probably not enjoying the time that they're having. And I think that those sorts of things are happening all the time in like those moments of negotiating sex and intimacy where it's like, yeah, I'm into this, not quite like that, but a little more like this, but all of that is happening only with the body. Yeah, so anyway, just reinforcing your own point that communication is key.
Really is. Yeah.
Do you find you're pretty open, hey, about like talking about sex and dating and relationships as like a musician, as a public figure? Do you get much like flack for that?
I haven't seen much of it yet. I also just think that's because I'm still like very much just like starting off. I feel like I wrote the only like hate I guess I've seen from that has been I wrote a song that was on Dua Lipa's album called Good in Bed. And it's very like shamelessly just talking about sex. And like, I think to have an artist like Dua Lipa, who's like this like clean cut, like dope pop artist, like I think it really like threw some people off. They were like, whoa, like why would Dua Lipa say this? And to me, that just like reinforced or like confirmed for me how important it was that like somebody like Dua Lipa put a song out like that, because I feel like especially the music industry is so sexist against women and like makes them feel like they can't be like talking openly about sex. And like the fact that like I got to see it through that song, I was like, shit, people really have a long ways to go. So that's why I guess I just try to be super open in my own music. But yeah, seeing it with the Dua record was crazy.
Yeah, I was just listening to that song. It was really fun, like dancey stuff. Good job.
Yeah,
they. Has it been like, you recently released a single called 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Sex. What has been the reception of, because like I that song is really fun. Like it's a super fun song to jam to. What has been the reception to that? Like, I guess the question is like, who's listening?
Point?
No. who's listening to you? Like, what's your demographic? Mm. And like, because like I could so the reason I'm bringing this up is I listen to that song and I'm sitting here as a 32-year-old man and I'm going, fuck, this is fun. I like this. Like my girlfriend would enjoy this. I know that, and like I know some people in my life that would enjoy this. But then I'm also sitting here as a 32-year-old 32-year-old man and going, you know what, my 13-year-old niece would probably really like this song as well. And then I'm like,
yeah,
no, that's like, is that the crowd that's also tuning into your shit? And like, do you, because I'm all for sex positive conversation.
Word,
for
yeah.
any and all ages. Like that's, I mean, fuck, that's why we do this show.
I mean, it's interesting and it's been something I've been trying to navigate as I've kind of started to grow this little fan base. It's like the age demographic is kind of all over the place. So when I am writing a song, like saying like, I just came here to the party for the drugs, or a song that's like sex yeah. on my mind, like whatever, part of me in the back of my mind is like, oh no, like, is this putting across the wrong message? But to me, it's like, and whenever my parents are like, Taylor, why do you cuss so much in your songs? I'm like, it's like, they're like, little kids are listening to that. But it is very much just like, to me, like speaking your mind, talking about sex, saying what you want in the song. I hope little kids, I guess, hear that and are like, oh damn, that's cool. She really speaks her mind. I should probably do the same. And I also like, I grew up in a very sex positive household, and like, the second I wanted to start learning like what sex was, I just like asked my mom. I was like, Mom, what's a blowjob? And she was like, well, go, and like told me. And there was never really like this like stigma against it, like I feel like there is in a lot of households. So I grew up in a very like open way. And so I feel like if I can bring that sort of sex positivity to people who maybe aren't in such an open or supportive household, if I can bring that kind of vibe to them through my music, sounds so cheesy, but like, I don't know, if it can have a cool effect on them or make them feel more confident in their sexuality or their body, like, then my job is done, you know?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Because like, I like when I think back to people who I've met in my life who seem like extraordinarily comfortable with their sexuality, it's like I've always been, I was always really taken aback by those people and like looked up to those people and felt like, you know, there's like a, not that I idolize them or like put them on a pedestal, but I looked up to that kind of vibe and
totally.
Always wanted to like project that myself, you know, to feel very like very cool and comfortable with talking about sex, because it's, I mean, fuck, you know, talking about this all the time on the show, but it's like, yeah. we all do it. Like, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for it, you know what I mean?
Literally.
Like, we all, for the most part, we all love it, you know. Right. We all want to do it, so why are we so fucking weird about it?
That's what I think is cool. And like, kind of going off what you're saying, like when you meet people who are like that, it kind of like rubs off on you. It's like the people you spend like the most time with, like you kind of start to like take on different like characteristics of that. And like, I try to only really like surround myself with people that make me feel good, but like, you can be around someone that's just super open about it, it like rubs off on you like in that moment. And so I feel like if I could be that person to like anyone else, it's a lot, you know.
Absolutely. I think it's like, it gives permission when you're yourself to like other people who are around you and seeing it to also do that. And I feel like we for sure need as much of that as possible.
Hell yeah. Mm.
Turn Me On. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
What's your own like story like with growing up and sexuality? You mentioned your parents were, or your household was pretty positive and approachable. Were you like an early bloomer? What was it like growing up?
It's funny because I like grew up in such an open way, like talking about sex. And then when I like lost my virginity, I realized like I hadn't even like masturbated before I lost my virginity. So I really had like no clue what the fuck I was doing. I was like, I think I was like 15 or yeah, I was 15. So I don't know.
Typical thing for women?
No, not masturbating before.
Yeah. Like not having masturbated and then losing your virginity.
I'm sure it's pretty common, but think of how many women we've spoken to on this podcast who were like, I think I started masturbating early. And there's like so many women who are like masturbating at like 5 or 6 years old,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's interesting is I never did that. And I also think, and I talk about this, I'm like putting out this like PSA video kind of soon talking about sex, and I talk about how like I feel like masturbation for women, like I don't know about you, but I didn't like grow up talking to my friends openly about it. Like I feel like it has this like negative thing for like women to be masturbating. So I never like I didn't even think girls did it like until I was like 15, I guess. But yeah, I mean, I had no fucking clue what I was doing when I was like having sex in high school, but it was fun, I guess.
After you had sex, though, like, did you like what was the catalyst to you then going, wait, I can like touch my own pussy, like this?
Yeah,
is awesome.
I was like, this is fire. And I remember my like first orgasm. I like didn't know what to do. I was like, what is this? This is like the best thing ever. And then I like had some friends like still who are like in college and still hooking up with people, but like aren't like as comfortable with like masturbating and like still haven't like orgasmed. And I'm like, girl, like you are fucking missing out. Like it's interesting, but yeah, I don't know. And then I think masturbating and like like getting comfortable and like knowing your own body has been like the main reason why I've become so like comfortable in like my sex life with other people, because like you know what you want and like you can tell people what you want and like, yeah, I don't know.
What's that?
You can
what's
just
that
do it in front of them, and that's enough. Yeah. Sometimes,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like, I got this. This is fine.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, that's what a lot of us are doing now. You know, and it's I mean, personally speaking, for me, it's been a fucking super fun time. Yeah. It's like that. What's that saying? Like, how could you love others if you can't love yourself first or whatever? It's the same kind of thing.
Same
it's like how.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like yeah. Until you really get to know what makes you tick, then
how
you're
gonna,
are
have
you a
hard, gonna yeah
have a hard time connecting with other people.
Totally.
Yeah, sweet. That's cool.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
No.
You sure?
Yep.
So you've been living in LA. Have you been to any big wild sex parties, orgies, or
no, but talking to you guys makes me really just want to fucking do this. That sounds so fun.
Yeah.
I'm like very like, I feel like I'm super like, I'm a very sexual person. Like I love sex, like whatever. But I'm not like, I'm very, what's the word? Like with one person at a time.
Monogamous,
that's the word. Yeah. And like, I'm not like that ballsy bitch who's going to like walk up to this random person and be like, you're coming home with me. Like I still am like, I'm 21, I'm still figuring my shit out. But like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like that's definitely something I need to do. I feel like that sounds so fucking fun. I feel like it's also so freeing. Like for someone who like me, I feel like who is like a very sexual person but monogamous, I feel like doing some shit like that would be the most like empowering thing ever.
Yeah, Brad, I don't know what your feelings are on it, but like the experiences, I've had a couple of experiences that's No, but like you've been to sex clubs.
Yes.
You've been to sex clubs and have been like watched while having sex. You know what I mean? Like that's which is like group sex adjacent. You know what I mean? but even that experience, even that experience itself, it's like I don't know. It was like not last year. Yeah, maybe it was like last year. Becca and I went to my girlfriend and I went to a sex club in Toronto called Oasis. And I remember there's this fucking really weird room there that when you go in, it's like a medium sized room, but they've got the back of a, this is going to sound so funny. They got the back of a van inside the room.
Incredible.
That the doors open. So you can like get into the van. So like you're fucking in the back of a van.
That's incredible.
The back of the van. So anyway, it's like one of those cool, like young kids beds. That's a race car. Except it's a shagging wagon. So we were in the van room fucking, and there's like five other couples fucking in there. And I remember just like looking up while we're all having sex. And then at the doorway, there's like four people just watching. And in that moment, just thinking like, this is one of the most like sexually empowered moments I've ever had in my entire life. Because I'm like fully engaged and connected with my partner, and like it's having a great time, but then we're all like also kind of like making eye contact with these other people that I have no fucking clue who they are. And like it's just this whole like, but they're like, and no one's you know, I think about it now and it makes me giddy and like and like just fuck, I just like I can't talk about it without laughing. But in that moment, like no one's laughing, all just like super fucking, we're here for this. Like, this is what's happening right now. It's super serious. Like, I don't know, man. It is. It's one of those, it's one of those weird, wild experiences that you look back on, you know, afterwards and you go, fuck, that was cool. That was a cool experience.
I picture the next version of that for, like, at least for myself, being like, not taking place in a sex club, but like more in like a mud pit. You know what I mean?
Work.
Yeah, just in the jungle?
On my farm,
sure.
Somewhere.
Yeah, right.
Incredible. Right. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. I feel like that'd be sick too. Like, how does it work for like those kinds of things? You have to roll in as like a couple, or can you just roll in solo and just like see what happens?
Ladies can usually roll in solo.
For the most part, ladies can go in totally solo. Typically, men have to go in as a couple or as a part of a, or like, you know,
part of a
crew.
Yeah.
And that's like typically how it works. I mean, I'm not super well versed. I've only been to three sex clubs, but it was the same at all of them. Like kind of the same sort of vibe.
That's so rad.
Yeah, well, highly recommended.
Whenever
LA's
the world gets
fucking
back to normal. I know, it's like, when is that even? I don't even know when I'm going to get to tour again, let alone when people are going to be just like,
when are orgies going to be possible?
Literally. Yeah,
You were technically supposed to be playing. I just saw this today. You're technically supposed to be playing like in a few days in Toronto at one of my favorite music venues, the Danforth Music Hall.
Oh shit! Yeah,
I saw it. Google was like, "Go to Danforth Music Hall," and I'm like, "This isn't you guys."
You're like, "Don't send me this."
Yeah, I was like, "Don't show me this." Yeah,
I was literally on tour when this all went down and had to leave like one day, and it was horrible. It's very sad.
As a young and up and coming fucking rock star, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you this question. Have you had the like the romanticized experience of groupies on tour?
Dude, how sick would that be? No, I'm working on it. I'm working my way up to that. Tour is interesting. Like it's also weird because I'm like so 50-50 with it. Cause I'm like, do I want to be like going fucking crazy? And like, I mean, normally I get my own, or like when I get my own hotel room, I'm like, do I want to bring all these people back? Like, let's fucking go. But then the other half is like, I'm exhausted. I have to get in the van and drive to the next city. It's so interesting. I feel like every artist I talk to is so torn between the two worlds. They're like, do I like get my sleep and like keep my voice for the next show? Or do I like fuck around and like, you know, it's really hard. It's interesting.
I would imagine, especially at 21 too, where it's like that, like, I'm 36 and I'm like, I think I'd rather sleep, you know? But yeah. At 21, when, like, the world is kind of your oyster and you maybe don't, like, don't have 15 years of going out to bars in your back pocket of, like, been there, done that. It would be, I remember being on tour. I went on tour with my sister as a nanny for her musical tour. And I had,
that's right.
I remember at that time being totally stricken with the same conundrum. Like, I'm responsible for a 3-year-old, but that boy
yeah.
is real yeah, cute. Yeah. yeah.
That's amazing. That's funny.
I don't know. I succumb to it pretty easily, I think. Like, I go on tour quite a bit for my other podcast, and, like, it's just the worst for my health. Because I just run myself right into the fucking ground. Like, yeah. I just...
Like, fly home early with pneumonia, run yourself into the ground?
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Actually,
yeah.
That happened?
Yeah, dude. No, yeah, for real. I finished tour, and we finished in Newfoundland, which is like the furthest you can go on the east coast of Canada. Mm-hmm. And then that day, I flew down to Boston to go see a band, one of my like favorite bands of all time, Big Thief. Mm-hmm. They were playing at this theater in Boston, and I got there. The show was that night. Saw the show that night, and then we had like a whole trip planned to like drive back up through Salem and see all the shit. I woke up the next morning and was like, "Ooh, I gotta go home now, or else I'm gonna be." Stuck with a fucking huge medical bill in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And so I flew home that day and I was basically hospitalized for a couple of weeks. But anyway, it's like the whole, I think it's because I just like, the reason why I say romanticized idea of like rock star life is when we go on tour, it sort of feels like that, even though I know it's not at all. Like, it's so low, it's fucking so low key and not that. But yeah. there's this sort of attractive kind of like, what's that fucking movie? That classic movie of
Almost Famous.
Yeah, there's like an Almost Famous quality to like. You're like, yeah, you know, you kind of want to go.
Young.
The night's young. Let's fucking go party. You know, like, who knows what might happen.
It's like, I also love, like, this makes me sound like a real dick, but, like, the power play of, which is, like, I love that shit just, like, in my relationships and in bed anyways, that, like, when you're on stage and you're, like, I hold the power and you can, like, find the person that you want to come up to you after the set and, like, work that and be, like, I've literally, like, this microphone is the power in this exchange right now. Like, that's really fun for me.
Right.
But yeah, I feel like the reason I'm such a like tour is work. Like, now I look at it that way is because my first tour was at the beginning of last year and I like had never done it before. So I was like, I'm going in like wasted every night making out with like anyone I could at the, like going in. And then I was like, okay, like I lost my voice, like got super sick. And I was like, okay, I need to like,
gotta cool
blow my roll. But it is really fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to do that.
I miss
sudden.
That. Yeah. I know.
Fuck. I know.
I'm missing it.
I just hate having responsibilities. Otherwise I would go on tour.
It's very fun.
Myself.
Taylor, you were saying that you didn't really fuck with the whole like online sexting kind of like video chat sex until COVID-19 changed the sex world in general.
Yeah, it really did.
What has that experience been like? And like, okay, so. You know what? Let's do this right. So we have a segment on the show that we call Brain Boners, and we get a bunch of questions from listeners, and we answer those questions with like our best advice.
Oh,
and
amazing.
One came in that I feel would be like kind of worthy to touch on right now, and maybe we'll get your take on it. But I also want to hear your take on it too, Bride. So here, I'll blast this out, and then you guys give me your thoughts. Hi, Jeremy and Bridey, and in this case, Taylor. I'm from Cape Breton here in Nova Scotia. I've been a long-time listener of Sick Boy and have recently started listening to Turn Me On within the past few weeks. Well, thank you very much. One of my more recent listens was the Red Hot Sues episode, and you guys spoke a lot about how to take nudes. During the world of COVID-19, nudes and sexting is probably a decent part of a lot of people's lives. So my question is, how the fuck do you sext? Obviously, I get the concept, but I'm legit clueless on how to go about it without seeming incredibly awkward about it. Was hoping you guys would have some tips. Love the podcast. Love you guys. Hope you're staying safe.
Sweet.
And that's from Haley.
Work, Haley. Go ahead.
Yeah. I want to hear. I'm curious to know what your initial thoughts are.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like honestly, like what we were saying earlier, like nudes, sexting, phone sex, like all that shit takes another level of like vulnerability to me. I don't know. Like it's. Yeah, because, yeah, you just have to communicate more clear and it could get awkward. I love taking nudes. Like, some days I'm like, damn, if I ever am, like, get to fucking, like, Lady Gaga status, like, all my nudes will leak. It's gonna be, like, next level. But I'm kind of, like, hyped for it. Like, I'm ready. But, no, like, I think that's super fun. I feel like whenever I'm, like, in the mood and, like, I'm trying to start some shit, I don't know, like, how you initiate it. Like, I'll just, like, send a photo and then see, like, what happens after that, I guess. I don't know. How do you guys do it?
Brian, I want to hear your take.
I find it a lot easier to communicate in writing. So you're
good at it. You're really good at writing.
And I like, thank you. So what was our brain boner asker's name?
Haley.
I have charged $35 an hour to write.
Yeah, because get some fucking ghostwriting. I'll ghostwrite your sex, your initiation sex.
I don't know. I think I don't like to lead with like words that can be jarring. Like I don't like to jump right to pussy or cock or anything like that. I might just say more like, you know, I'm thinking of you and I'm wondering what you're doing.
Okay. Right. Like, but hold on though, Bride. Let me just jump in here really quickly. Let's assume, cause we don't have a lot of information about Haley and her current
and
status or situation, but yeah. let's say that Haley isn't in a relationship.
Yeah.
Right. So let's say that Haley is literally
initiate.
Let's say she slid into the DMs of some cute guy who liked her last post, and she's like, "Oh fuck it! Like, I want to chat with this guy, but I don't know, I don't know how to take it to that level." Because it would be a little weird if she was like, "Hey, I've been thinking about you," you know, to this random guy. If you said that to me or you said that to Todd, that makes sense.
Yeah,
right. There's an established relationship. Yeah. So how does Haley do this with? With that guy, she saw at the bar and she noticed that he noticed her 6 months ago. And now they're orbiting each other's presence on social media. You know what I mean? Like that kind of vibe. What does she say then?
She says, "Hey, you
want to see my pussy?
I've noticed you noticing me. And I just want you to put you on notice that I noticed you too." That's what she says.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah, that's
Love
good.
That.
That's really good.
That's from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
And then if he gets the reference, then he's a keeper.
That's great. Then definitely a keeper for sure.
Love that.
But I think, keep it super playful. And that way, if it doesn't go over well or if it isn't received, you can kind of be like, I don't know. Like if you're not taking yourself too seriously, then it's not, doesn't hurt so much when they're like, not picking up what you're putting down at all. And then you might find that you're not being clear enough and that's fine too. And then you just have to try something else. But I'm like, when I'm starting those conversations, I like, this is not just like an off the cuff text. This is something that like I'll type and then I'll read and I'll say it out loud and I'll be like, oh no, I can't say that. And then, you know, it takes a while to get a groove. You just kind of have to spend some time practicing what sounds both natural and like a little edgy. I can say things in text that I would not ever feel super comfortable saying out loud. But it goes over. Anytime I've ever said something in text that I wouldn't say it out loud, the response is always like, holy fuck, that's hot as shit.
Right.
Fuck it
right.
up.
Yeah. Like taking the leap of faith is it, I agree with you on that one. Like sometimes just taking a leap of faith and saying something that you make this face, like right as you press send, you go, you know, like if you feel that, there's a good chance like you're gonna, something's going to come back that's going to really pay off. I think that's good. I love sexting and I've done it like quite a bit, and my way I've always initiated it, I'm not good at initiating it, but I feel like I have a really good knack for like finding our way to the territory where it feels natural for that to be the next thing that comes up, right? So it's like as soon as you start talking about, as soon as you get to the topic of sex, and it could even be like just like very light sex talk, you know, it doesn't have to be like deep, you know, like talking about like, hey, what, like, how do you, what's your favorite position? Like nothing like that, but like even just talking about your own body or you know, what have you. Once that topic comes up, I feel like it's kind of easy to be like, all right, well, let's see how far the conversation can go on this one topic. You know, it's like get in line with the topic, or like within the realm of like in that lane, no matter how wide that lane is, and then slowly narrow it down until you start getting into like the stuff where you're like, I'll show you mine if you show me yours, kind of thing, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's great advice.
Yeah, I like the idea. That's a good like analogy. Like start with like, what did you say? Like narrow it down.
Yeah, just get in the lane and then narrow that lane down into, you know, into a place where it's like, okay, well, now we just got to take our clothes off, I guess.
See, like I'm not as good at the sexting thing. I feel like I just need to hit you up to like write me some sex in the future, because that is not my strong. I'd rather just be like on FaceTime, like, but then that also is maybe my issue with like hiding behind the whole like body language thing and like whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Sexting's fun. Like all the times I've done it, it's dope. But then also, like, I don't know if I'm doing it wrong, but like having, when you're like in the moment and you're like masturbating with this person, but you're like texting it out, the time it takes to like send the text, then you like lose it and you're like, fuck, like how does that, you know what I mean? How do you?
I don't do that. I honestly, like, if I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to get myself off, it's one of two things. I've read enough and seen enough, you know, or just read enough, or I've seen enough where I'm like, okay, cool, I can take this into my mind and I'm going to go.
Right.
Squeeze one out.
But then are you just leaving this person on read and they're like,
well, I mean, I think at that point it's like, I hope you're doing the same thing to like, we both now need to branch off and like finish this.
Yeah.
Or the next step is just like, yo, like, are we hopping on FaceTime to make this happen or what? I mean, and that's like strictly COVID speaking, you know, like that's COVID time. I mean, it's like the COVID era of sex now. Yeah. You know, it's like you get to a point where it's like, okay, are we going to, like, let's just do this over FaceTime. You know?
Right. Yeah.
It just made me think of how many times I've been trying to multitask and do both things, like continue the conversation. And I just, it's in like today's day of like cleaning all of your keyboards and your hands and your phone. And everything. I'm just thinking about all the shit that's, anyway.
All the cum that's all the cum that's on cell phones. Yeah.
Straight out of That's so funny.
Yeah. But I mean, I have notes like in my notes folder on my phone. Like I have long, like 16 paragraph scenarios written out from past sex, like exchanges that I've had.
Oh, yeah. Where
that I'm like, okay, I'm going to write a novella. I'm going to write a novella. Jesus Christ. I'm going to write a novella obsessed, and then I'm gonna send this to this person. And then when it works and it was like, oh, the fuck, that felt really good, I'll like take that and just like keep it locked away and be like,
you're like highlight for next
maybe
time.
Maybe I'll bring this out, you know, someday down the road.
You're just following a script in every sext. It's your own script. And you're like, I don't know why you're not picking up my cues, but I'm just going to forge through with my script.
You're like, here.
What you just said does not actually lead to the next scene properly. But we're going there anyway. I'm narrowing down that lane.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. That's so funny.
Well, Haley, I hope that helps your situation there. And actually, Haley, follow up with us. Like, let us know if you end up taking that route. Because I wanna hear how that goes for you. That would be really great to know.
And if you haven't joined our Patreon yet, we're gonna be fitting in a new tier level. Specifically.
Sex ghostwriting tier?
You got it. Stealing my punchline since 2011.
Oh, get off it. Fuck off. Well, this has been, Taylor, this has been really, really fun. And it's been an absolute treat to chat with you. How can our listeners follow what you're up to? How can our listeners hear your music? Tell them where to go.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere, like Spotify, Instagram, anywhere. It's just Upsahl Music. Weird spelling, but it's UPSAHL. But yeah, thank you for having me. This has been so, like, I have always considered myself, like, a sexual person, obviously. And, like, this song coming out has forced me to, like, talk about sex more openly. And, like, I'm learning so much, like, just from this past hour with you guys. Like, I feel so fucking inspired and empowered to, like, get back to LA when the world is back to normal, and, like, I'm going off. So thank you guys, seriously.
Sweet. Yeah, well, it was really fun to have you. And thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week, as we always are, with another wonderful conversation. But in the meantime, if you want to support the podcast, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating or a review, which is really important. Kind of keeps us on the iTunes charts there, which is like the Billboard charts for podcasts. You can also follow the podcast on Spotify, because, you know, Spotify is fucking cool. And who doesn't have a Spotify account now? And if you want to support the podcast in other ways, you can do that through Patreon, like Brady said earlier. www.patreon.com/turnmeon, where there's some exclusive content there, and who knows, maybe we'll start writing your sex for you.
If you want to be a guest on the show, or if you have a brain boner you'd like us to ask and share with our guests, then you can reach out to us at turnmeonpodcast@gmail.com or through our website at turnmeonpodcast.com.
And at turnmeonpodcast on Instagram, we've been posting people's asses on there every Sunday since it started. So if you want your butt anonymously posted to the world, we will do it for you at Turn Me On Podcast on Instagram. That is it for this week.
Until next week.
Go fuck yourself. Come here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. Cashing all my checks and telling lies. Might drive this car real fast until we die. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. High on all the ways you're whispering my name. Go play me like a game, but just so you know, I'm obsessive with the chase. I'll come but never stay. So turn me on and up just like radio. The world is getting warmer, running out of air. But you can send me way up to the stratosphere. So now I'm feeling like a fucking billionaire. Not playing fair. Won't you come here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. Cashing all my checks and telling lies. Might drive this car real fast until we die. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. Cashing all my checks and telling lies. Drive this car real fast until we die. Until we die. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3.
sex on my mind. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, sex on my mind. I'm texting, telling lies. I just call her fast until we die. This car will fast until we die. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on my mind. Sex on my mind. Work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.